as the microphone creaks from its higher position to its working position. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's 1600 hours Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock to all you locals. The following show is called Mideast Madness, and I am Ren Tawil.
وبكون ممنون يوم ليوم وانا بدور حظي ملعون ابو العروس زعلان مني ام العروس ما تكلمني وانا خايف يصيبني ده جنون لاقولي بيتنا اتجوز وبكون ممنون كناين وولادهم وضعدين بس اليوم بدي وحدي مع امك دي امل هدي وانا قابل كيف ما كان يكون لقولي بيت يا حبايب وبكون ممنون
لقولي بيت لا اتجوز وبكون ممنون من يوم ليوم وانا بدور
شغل بالي هم البيوت يا ويل حالي وانا قابله كيف ما كان يكون لقول بيت يا جماعة وبصير ممنون في الجرايد اعلانات صرنا حاطين عم نترجى ونتدخل
This piece of music is entitled Lauli Bait, or Find Me a House, Lauli Bait. Tony Abdelahad was born about 1913 into a Syrian immigrant family in Boston, Massachusetts. As a young boy, he learned to sing Arabic songs and to play the oud, which is an instrument that the younger European lute is based on. By imitating the 78 RPM records of Arab music that his family collected and prized. His uncle, also an oud player, and Russell Bunai, nurtured Abdelahad's blossoming musicianship, amazed that that anyone born in America could sing and play Arabic music with such skill and feeling. Abdelahad soon developed his own solo career and became probably the most active performer at the haflas, word that kind of means the parties, having, you know, party. And Amarajan's of the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. He recorded his music, including many original compositions, on both 78 discs and later on his popular LP, the long-playing album, Middle East Fantasy. Although Abdelahad had only a vague understanding of the song lyrics he sang in the classical Arabic language, or Fusha, he had a deep appreciation of the aesthetics and ideals of Tarab music, or what he called the heavy stuff. Abdelahad was hardly an old-fashioned purist. However, he was a formidable innovator in his adaptation of traditional songs.
أبو العروس زعلان مني أم العروس ما تكلمني وأنا خايف يصيبني دا جنون نقول بيت يتجوز ويكون ممنون.
And that is our musical treat for today's episode of Mideast Madness. Now we get into the heavy stuff. Hi, my name is Ren Tawil. Ren is short for Lawrence. I used to go by Larry, but I generally don't go by Larry anymore. So call me Ren. And if you indeed do want to call me anything to my face by way of the telephone lines. Here are the phone numbers. Write them down. Two lines directly to the studio here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Area code 831-427-3772. That's 427-3772. The second line is 831-469-3119. That's area code 831-469-3119. Okay, here's what's happening, people. There is a remarkable organization out there called Jewish Voice for Peace. It is comprised primarily of those of the Jewish faith who may or may not be Israeli citizens, who may or may not be Zionists. But regardless of that, one way or the other, they're all critical, some of them very highly, of the policy of the current Israeli government, which is a very conservative right-wing government in Jerusalem, or in Tel Aviv, if you insist on splitting hairs, and they are very vocal in the community. They come out of Berkeley, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. Santa Cruz County is not terribly far from there, about 70 miles, 70, 80 miles. And they have a vibrant website and a huge mailing list. And by no means is Jewish Voice for Peace the only such organization. There are many, 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 I have discovered, websites associated with other primarily Jewish, perhaps American Jews, perhaps outside of America Jews, who are critical of Israel's way of doing things, of how the government does things, of how the military does things, often more or less independent from government direction. That's, of course, the Israeli military we're talking about. And recently, JVP produced 6.5-minute video that you can find on YouTube. I believe if you go to the YouTube site and pump in Israel and Palestine, an animated introduction. Although it also says on the start page, Israel and Palestine, a very short introduction. And hopefully you'll come across JVP's video, 6.5-minute cartoon, which indeed gives a very brief introduction to the situation between the Jews and the Arabs, or the Israelis and the Palestinians, however you want to couch it, the players in this game, this awful turmoil. That's a good 64 years old now. And one of the features of YouTube is that they have a comment section, like so many other interactive websites, and people can comment. And as one might imagine, the tenor, the tone of some of these comments, some of them are extreme. Some of them are really very well thought out and are kind of middle of the road or general. But, you know, I did in fact find a few virulent, bitter, racist, anti-Semitic comments that were made, calling Jews by the K name and other things. And it's really too bad, in my opinion, that people of that mindset should join the chorus against Israel, because they're also very, very anti-Jewish. So there are a few of those. On the other end of the spectrum, there are those who basically maintain that Palestinians don't have a leg to stand on, or that Arabs don't have a decent leg to stand on, as Ronald Reagan used to put it, in terms of defending their viewpoint or espousing their viewpoint. The thing which is most distressing to me about some of these comments is they are 110% absolute in their condemnation of this video, Israel and Palestine, a very short introduction. They will even say so. One of them says 100% wrong, reality turned upside down. Some of them say, totally biased, as opposed to what JVP says about the YouTube beast. They don't check their facts. The point is they're absolute in their approach. And this is the kind of stuff which makes for the reason why there is no peace in the Middle East. You got people on either side of no man's land there, gunning for their position by saying we're completely right and they are less than completely wrong, worse than completely wrong. So in that respect, the comments section is a waste of time. It's an opportunity for people to espouse, I think they allow up to 1,000 characters, you know, in a single comment, the YouTube people do. But so many of them leave a single sentence, very short sentence, saying, this video is BS, or sometimes they spell it all out. And yeah, I know this is free radio, but I'm a nice guy, and I try not to use potty mouth on the air. Hopefully that'll attract more listeners, assuming people find out about this program. Anyway, I tagged onto it, and I left my comments. The very first comment was in response to a pro-Israel comment. I don't remember exactly what it was. But eventually I found a person who refers to themselves as Stange World. I think they meant to spell it Strange World, but the R was left out of the first word. So Strange World, if you're out there, you can give me a call. I'd really appreciate it. 831-427-3772. Second line is 831-469-3119. The lines are open directly to the studio here. Now, I believe that person is in Israel, and it's nighttime over there, clearly nighttime, but she or he may be awake and listening online. So this Strange World person said blah, 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 and I responded with a short message saying, saying that Israel is hardly a democracy. This is not verbatim, but it said something to the effect of Israel is not really a democracy because Arabs do not have equal rights to Israelis. And then I parenthetically answered in the comment, it's written in the law. And I fired that comment out, and boy, did that Strange World person fire back with me in all capital letters, I dare you to prove to me that it's in the law. Well, as you might imagine, I set about to prove myself right by trying to find the appropriate information on the internet. I'm pretty sure I should have to go to the main library in town here and do this the old-fashioned way. But short of coming across any legal government documentation or ordinances or laws as such which addressed equality or inequality between Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs, who are, of course, Palestinians. The Israelis prefer not to use the word Palestinian. They call them Israeli Arabs. So not being able to come up with this information, I came up with the next best thing that I can do on a computer, on the internet, and that was to quote people. And I went to Haaretz, a deeply renowned publication in Israel, news publication, which has fearlessly put forth a lot of material critical of the Israeli way of governing and the Zionist philosophy. Very daring stuff sometimes. A left-wing publication, although it has a huge wide circulation. Haaretz may be the largest periodical as such in Israel. And, of course, they have their internet service. Well, I went to them, and I quoted someone who was addressing that, and I went to other sites, and I submitted back to this person in the comments section, these pieces of material, which, by and large, must be called opinions, but then again, some of them are from newspapers, so as far as I'm concerned, they're journalist-reported situations. And some of them contain very biting criticisms of the inequities between Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs. Well, this Strange World person shot back at me saying, oh, no, you can't just give me opinions. In capital, O-P-I-N-I-O-N-S, all caps there. Opinions. I want to see proof. I dare you to give me proof that this is the case. So at that point, there was no doubt that this person was not going to be, probably wouldn't have been moved no matter what I showed her or him, no matter what I said. And if I said, this is what I found out about the Israeli law, that person probably would have said, I don't believe you. And I say that because that is also my experience in talking to supporters of Israel, is they often have a very hard time dealing with reality. Acting as though the opposition is from another planet. And they say that in so many words in the comments. Are you from another planet? Well, eventually the person shot back a final note to me directly saying, "So you have failed to provide me with proof that Israeli law, that it's written in stone in Israeli law that Arabs are not equal and must not be, cannot be equal to Jews in Israel." And she ends by saying, "Deal with it." I had stuff to do. You know, comments, a person can waste hours and hours on things like that. And they don't do much, probably don't do much to advance the cause of peace. So I went about my life. And some 4 days later, I finally had a chance to come back and address Stangeworld's last comment to me. Putting my comments both in the comments section of the YouTube video, short introduction, and sending them directly to her, to Stangeworld. For some reason, I keep thinking this is a female person, and I apologize to Stangeworld if that's not the case. You know, you read some of these things, and you have, sometimes it just, a female voice pops up for some reason. I suppose those are my prejudices. Anyway, whether it's female or male, I wrote back saying, "Look, I've yet to come across any actual documents in Israeli law. It's not fun, and it's not easy to do, even on the internet. Or perhaps because it's on the internet, it might be easier in a library with the written word on leaves of grass in bounded cardboard and canvas. But I think it is you who needs to deal." I told her, "I think it is you who needs to deal with the fact that there are so many indications, and there are tons and tons of indications, opinions, reportings, exposés, research to indicate that there is not legal or social or civic equality between Israeli Arabs and Israeli Jews." And short of being able to come up with this stuff in writing to make Stangeworld feel good about her precious Israeli democracy, or his, Stangeworld is the person who needs to come through for herself, for himself. They need to really take a close look at the situation, because even if it's not written in Israeli law that there are certain privileges and rights granted to Jews that are not available to Arabs or Palestinians, even if it doesn't say so, the current situation is that there are tons of inequities. Palestinians are have a much more difficult time buying land, buying certain properties, if they can at all, because of many preferences that are given to the Israeli Jews. Laws concerning intermarriage between Arab and Jew, or between Muslim and Jew, are highly restricted, and I believe they vary somewhat throughout the country, throughout the state of Israel. And I merely wrote back to her saying, "Listen, you're the one who needs to, as an Israeli, as Stangeworld apparently is, you are the one who needs to pay attention to the reality on the ground." I love that expression, the reality on the ground, what's really going on there, and stop boasting about Israel's precious so-called democracy. I mean, I haven't even started talking about the Palestinians who live in the occupied territories of the West Bank and Gaza. And Gaza is still occupied, in effect, because of the economic siege and the sealed borders. Israel limiting access, people going in and coming out. It's effectively occupied. Those Palestinian Arabs do not vote in the Israeli state. They, in fact, they have no political rights whatsoever in terms of Israel, and they have rather limited rights and interactions with the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority of President Mahmoud Abbas, or Abu Mazen, as he is affectionately called by some, the Palestinian Authority, the PA, has kind of devolved into an occupation management tool of the Israelis. That's a popular identification that's been going around lately, and it's true. Now, I'm still waiting for phone calls, 831-427-3772 or 469-3119. Give us a call and make this show more interesting, more colorful. Let's be nice. Let's not be so nice. Argue, yell if you want to, but I want people to have some guts and call me. And among my searches for material pertinent to this question of dueling equalities, that's my expression, you may quote me on that, dueling equalities, like dueling banjos, I came across this. It's from the National Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel. The National Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel, a rather long, somewhat cumbersome title for a group of people, is dated 2006. So keep that in mind. It's 6 years old. And you tell me if any of what I'm about to read to you has come to pass in the Holy Land of Israel and historic Palestine. This is taken, these are two sections taken from a statement that the Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel has presented. Two sections. Here's the first one, 2006. To maintain the ethnocratic system, Israel has implemented several rules concerning the Palestinian Arabs in Israel. One, cutting all identity relations between the Palestinian Arabs in Israel and the rest of the Palestinian people and the Arab and Islamic nation. Israel has tried to create a new group of quote-unquote Israeli Arabs. Two, preventing Palestinian Arabs in Israel from keeping relations with their brothers in Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip, and the Palestinian refugees. Three, opposition of organizing the Palestinian Arabs in Israel in any form that can be of a contradiction to the aspirations of the Jewish majority and the state in terms of parliamentary representation and preventing them from exercising any non-parliamentary and political activities of public struggles. Again, this is part of a white paper published by the National Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel. 6 years old. For all I know, they don't even exist anymore, but it's still pretty interesting. And again, these each of these number points addresses how Israel has implemented all these rules concerning the Palestinian Arabs in Israel to maintain the ethnocratic system, as it were. Number four, opposing the Palestinian Arab leadership attempts to building a vision adverse to consolidate the status of the Arab minority in the Jewish state, which ultimately accepts the Jewish control of the state, its resources and abilities. And number five, forcing the Palestinian Arabs in Israel to accept resource allocation on a basis of ethnicity rather than citizenship. This aims at maintaining the Jewish superiority and the Palestinian Arab inferiority in Israel. Five rather biting, perhaps bitter points. He goes on to say here, the Palestinian Arabs in Israel are in need of changing their status. While they are preserving their Arab-Palestinian identity, they need to obtain their full citizenship in the state and its institutions. They also aspire to attain institutional self-rule in the field of education, culture, and religion. That is, in fact, part of fulfilling their rights as citizens and as part of the Israeli state. They also seek to obtain full equality with the Jewish majority. I'll say that again. They also seek to obtain full equality with the Jewish majority. So here we have a bunch of Israeli Arabs, Palestinians, who maintain that their current status is one of inequality in Israel. Now here's the second part of this excerpt from the white paper. The Palestinians in Israel should demand the following from the state, colon. Number one, the state should acknowledge responsibility of the Palestinian Nakba, the tragedy of 1948, and its disastrous consequences on the Palestinians in general and the Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel in particular. Israel should start by rectifying the damage that it had caused and should consider paying compensation for its Palestinian citizens as individuals and groups for the damages resulted from the Nakba and the continuous discriminating policies derived from viewing them as enemies and not as citizens that they have a right to oppose the state and challenge its rules. Number two. The state should recognize the Palestinian Arabs in Israel as an indigenous, which is to say purely native to that soil, national group, and as a minority within the international conventions, that has the right within their citizenship to choose its representatives directly and be responsible for their religious, educational, and cultural affairs. This group should be given the chance to create its own national institutions relating to all living aspects and stop the policies of dividing between the different religious sects within the Palestinian Arabs in Israel. Three, the state has to acknowledge that Israel is the homeland for both Palestinians and Jews. And then parenthetically they insert here, the Israeli future constitution and state laws should reinforce this point by adding an introduction paragraph. Continues, the relation between the Palestinians and Jews in Israel should be based on attainment of equal human and citizen rights based on international conventions and the international relative treaties and declarations. The two groups should have mutual relations based on the consensual democratic system, which is to say an extended coalition between the elites of the two groups, equal proportional representation, mutual right to veto and self-administration of exclusive issues. Very, very wordy, very technical, but we're getting through this. We're almost done. Number four. Please bear with. Israel should acknowledge the right of minorities in line with international conventions. It should admit that the Palestinian Arabs in Israel have a special status within the institutions of the international community and are acknowledged as an indigenous cultural national group enjoying total citizenship in the state of Israel. It should also acknowledge that the Arab minority in Israel has international protection, care and support according to international conventions and treaties. Five, Israel should refrain from adopting policies and schemes in favor of the majority. Israel must remove all forms of ethnic superiority, be that executive, structural, legal, or symbolic. Israel should adopt policies of corrective justice in all aspects of life in order to compensate for the damage inflicted on the Palestinian Arabs due to the ethnic favoritism policies of the Jews. The state should cooperate with representatives of the Palestinian Arabs to search the possibility of restoring parts of their lands that Israel confiscated, not for public use. Israel should also dedicate an equal part of its resources for the direct needs of the Palestinian Arabs. Number six, Israel should acknowledge the rights of the Muslims to run their affairs concerning the Waqf, that's W-A-Q-F, the Waqf, which is the Islamic endowment, and the Islamic holy sites. Israel should no longer be in control of the Islamic and Christian holy sites and acknowledge their right of self-rule as part of the collective rights given to the Palestinian Arabs. Finally, number seven. Israel should acknowledge the right of the Palestinian Arabs in Israel of social, religious, cultural, and national continuity with the rest of the Palestinian people and the Arab and Islamic nation. Part of a white paper submitted 6 years ago by the National Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel. Now, if anyone out there happens to have the latest information on the on this group, their demise, or whatever may have happened to them, any news about the National Committee for the Heads of the Arab Local Authorities in Israel, give me a call here. If you want to take issue with any of this, by all means, call us. Call me here in the studio. I've given out the number several times. It is 4:37. The show is two-thirds over. So little time. Now, in the course of reading this, it occurs to me that there seems to be a lot of overlay, a lot of sort of redundancy among these points. Sometimes they seem to be saying the same thing over and over again. But I think what they're trying to do is be technically exacting or politically exacting and addressing very specific points. And often ending by saying, things like, this should be done within the international context of treaties and conventions. Anyway, the point here is, again, I came across this in my search for specifics about inequities in the system among the citizens, between Arab citizens and Jewish citizens and other Israeli citizens. And I thought it was important to let people know that there are local Arabs in Israel who have suffered to the point of, with some politeness and civility, stating the facts as they see them, demanding change from the present authorities. Now, again, that piece was dated 2006. And when you compare that kind of white paper and that kind of organization as they represent themselves to the old Palestinian warrior fighter Shukairi or Yasser Arafat's PLO, and when you compare them to any of the various Islamic militant groups, extremist or perhaps not so extremist. Here we have a situation where they're playing by the rules of civility, by the rules of nonviolence, stating their case without violence, without threats, without obscenity. And here it is 6 years later. If anything, the situation for the Israeli Arabs is far, far worse. Again, at the hands of this current Benjamin Netanyahu-led ultra-right-wing government of the Likud party, notorious conservative Israeli political party in charge, continuing to do what they can to maintain ethnic superiority, in fact to erase, if possible, or extremely subdue all vestiges of non-Jewish activity, of Muslim activity, Christian activity, all vestiges of Palestinian nationalism within Israel. And incidentally, the Likud government is doing what it can to erase the Palestinians from the West Bank and to kill the ones in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank. It's 4:41 Pacific Standard Time. You know, one of these days, these phones are going to ring because I'm going to complete the program of promotion for Mideast Madness, this program here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm going to complete phase one of my promotional program. And finally, we're going to get into it, which is what this program is all about. And as far as I'm concerned, what a big part of free radio is all about. Which, by the way, broadcasts on the FM spectrum at 101.3 here in Santa Cruz County, California. 101.3 FM, streaming live on freakradio.org. So if any of you are hearing me now via your old-fashioned radio dial, and perhaps the signal isn't coming through very, very well, very consistently, don't forget, go to www.freakradio.org, and towards the scroll down to the bottom part of the welcome page, and click on that red oval on top of the cartoon picture of the radio tower. Click on the red oval. You might have to use Real Player, Windows Player, you know, one of those other audio programs in order to make this work for you, to make the streaming service work for you, but it is there. Okay. Now, let me see if I can remember how to do this. Hello? Can you hear me? Wait, I have to turn up the pot on your, let's see. Phone line number one is volume up. Hello, can you hear me? Can you? Okay, folks. I'm very sorry. I guess I need a refresher on how to make these phone lines work. Please call me back and give it another try. You know, it's this is the first time this has happened, basically, on this show. Someone called in and the instructions are right here. Tom, turn Gettner off. As far as us, you won't be able to receive more calls on that line. Okay, Gettner is now off. I might have turned it off prematurely. Oh, golly, I feel terrible. Well, someone tried to call. Stange World, was that you? I'm not messing with you here. I'm really, really trying to make this work. I need to talk to the boss, Uncle Boss here, and find out what I'm doing wrong. I feel terrible. Here I am begging people and begging them to call the studio, and I mess up the call. It's possible they hung up. They just plain hung up before I had a chance to answer. That's a possibility. Okay, please call me again. Here it is, 4:45. We have 10 minutes more, 10 minutes left of the program. Guess what? I'm going to read you something else. And I'm going to sort of multitask, mentally multitask here, try and figure out how to do the telephones. Oh. Okay. Well, as far as I can tell, the lines are still open. Hopefully, if it rings again, I won't mess up. Again, I'm not messing with you. I'm not trying to dick people around here. This is from Time Magazine a week or two ago, edition that came out a week or two ago from the Letters to the Editor section. Time Magazine here in the U.S. of A. Israeli airstrikes. Regarding Carl Vick's story, The Gaza Problem, December 3. The first thing to clarify is that this is not a Palestinian versus Zionist problem or a Muslim versus Jew problem, but a struggle between right and wrong. The people in Gaza are being denied basic human rights that are spelled out in international law and that Israel is refusing to comply with. The first additional, the first to the Geneva Conventions, in capital letters there, additional protocols of the Geneva Conventions, gives people under foreign occupation the right to use force of arms to resist and fight against racist regimes. That this letter to the editor of Time Magazine was submitted by Musa Musley of Orland Park, Illinois. Now, I know some of you are screaming at your radios right now. But what about our rights? What about the Israeli rights? What about the oppression of Jews in Arab countries? Which actually has nothing to do with the way Israel treats Gaza. Or the Gaza problem. I'm not here to deny that Arab countries have a myriad of terrible problems in terms of human rights. On this program, I address the fact that in some ways Israel is no better and that they hardly have the right, that they don't have the right to boast about their democracy. As long as the situation persists. And Mr. Musa Musleys talks about Gazans being denied basic human rights that are spelled out in international law and that Israel is refusing to comply with. International law does indeed affect all parties. But I'll bet a lot of you out there were not even aware that there is a protocol to the Geneva Conventions, which, as it says here, gives people under foreign occupation the right to use armed forces to resist and fight against racist regimes. And if Gaza doesn't fall into that category, I don't know what does. Maybe they should be firing those missiles. Maybe they shouldn't be. Offhand, I would say that the Palestinians in Gaza are hurting their situation by firing the missiles, but I have little doubt that if they stopped firing them altogether, that conditions in Gaza would worsen and worsen and worsen because of Israel's economic siege, blockade against Gaza. Let me find something else that I can cause trouble with now. You see, I can't get this off of my head. It says here, special instruction on paper that someone's tacked onto the controls. Turn Gentner off. Here, move this. Turn Gentner off when a call is... Whoops. And he accidentally pushes a button while he's reading it. Turn getter off when call is done, or else you won't be able to receive more calls on that line. Well, I got red lights here. It says off and off. And my understanding is you just press the on button, turn up the gain or the volume control on the big board here on phone line one. It might have been phone line two. That's, you know, that might have been the problem. I only turned up the gain on line number one. I don't even know which number the person called. I feel like a jerk. Please call me back. If not today, then on future shows. I promise I'll have the problem. I promise to you. I give you my solemn word of oath, cross my heart, and hope to die if it doesn't happen, that the problem will be ironed out by next week. Okay, let me find my in the city of Santa Cruz, there is the famous, or perhaps not so famous, if not infamous, Resource Center for Nonviolence. That certain local entities maintain is an anti-Semitic organization. Well, I am not an anti-Semite, and I am a member, currently not a paying member of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, but I keep abreast of what's happening, and I currently serve as an active individual on one of the subcommittees of the Resource Center. That's the Palestine-Israel Action Committee, and PIAC is asking people to boycott a product which is manufactured in, I can't find the brochure now, but, oh, hey, I see one up here. Whoopee. This is a human rights boycott. SodaStream is what the product is called here in the U.S., which is made in an illegal Israeli settlement. Specifically, the West Bank Mishor Edomim Industrial Park, which is in the Ma'ale Adumim settlement. This is a Jewish settlement which was established against international law, against international treaty, on stolen Palestinian land in the West Bank of historic Palestine. In their industrial park, they're putting out this fizzy water machine, makes fizzy water that you can add flavoring to, or perhaps not add flavoring to, but I'm not going to advertise for them. SodaStream should be boycotted because it is an example of a product which is produced illegally on illegally occupied land using stolen Arab land, water, and resources. And lo and behold, what do the Palestinians get out of this? Nothing. No royalties, no money, no kickbacks, not even so much as those. They get nothing from this, while the West Bank economy dwindles and dwindles under severe military occupation. That is the truth. Mideast Madness, every Monday at 4 p.m., my 1,000 apologies to the person who called, assuming they didn't just hang up. I did what I understood to be the procedure to accept your call. In all sincerity, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Please call back again, or at the very, very least, please continue to listen to the show and tell your friends, tell your enemies. Mideast Madness every Monday at 4. This is Ren Tawil signing off from Free Radio Santa Cruz. Goodbye.